Certainly thankful for the song service, for each and every one of you, and for the prayer that Brother Jesse offered up on our behalf. I ask that you would continue to pray that God would bless his word to be proclaimed to his glory and to the benefit of each and every one of us. What's on my mind, and I've thought about this a lot over the last several years, and is the journey that each one of us take here in this life. You know, the journey is somewhat faster than we might experience. I asked Brother Fred this morning, him being 85, and I'm not out here to announce his birthday, but looking back, did it seem like it was very long? And he said no, and I think that's an answer you'd get from a lot of folks, and myself included. You know, you're 10 years old, you're 5 years old, 100 years old, 100 or 85 or 90, whatever it might be, seems like it's an eternity out there in the world. But yet, when we attain this age and begin to look back, it seems like but just a few days. Things really pass and time really moves. In John chapter 10, and I bring this verse to mind, not really where I want to go, but I want to make a point here. It says in verse 10 of John 10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." What does it mean to steal and to kill and destroy? Satan has no power to kill or destroy your soul, but he has a great power to wreak havoc on your life. I really don't believe that many of God's people understand this. They don't understand the influence and the power that Satan has over the Lord's people. You know, all you got to know about Satan and the abilities that he has is to read the story of Job. We get caught up in the book of Job with how faithful Job was, and he was. We're told that he was an upright and perfect man. That means he was a mature Christian. He prayed for his children. He done a lot of things right. Some people would argue, why did God allow that to happen? We could preach about the hedge that God had around Job, no question about it. But there's a great point that sometimes I believe is overlooked. The power that Satan had to wreak havoc and destruction in this man's life. Satan began in the Garden of Eden. He beguiled Eve. He deceived her. And he's been on the loose ever since. He's been wreaking havoc upon God's people every chance and every opportunity that he gets. You know, we live in the year of 2017. Satan hadn't decided to go idle and idly sit by and leave us alone. Satan has one objective. And I hope if you don't get anything else out of this today, you understand this point. Satan's ways have never changed. See, the Bible was written, especially, it was written to God's people, and we understand that. I believe most of us do. It was written to help God's people, especially the New Testament scriptures. The Bible was not written like a man who might be writing a thesis for a study that he was doing. Contrary to that, most of the New Testament epistles written by the Apostle Paul, Paul was an evangelist. He traveled from church to church, and generally what he wrote about was situations that arose in the churches. And when he wrote about these situations or these troubles that arose in the church, it was for the purpose of showing what the cause was, why this was happening, and also to teach the people how to overcome the difficulties that arose in these churches. Now, the church is the body of Christ. It's the people. It's not this building. Sometimes Paul spoke to the people, you know, the whole group of folks. Sometimes it was individually. But the church is the living body. It is God's family. And sometimes it would be a gathering of those saints in a local place. But be sure that Paul was writing to people who had trouble. He helped them diagnose their trouble, the cause of it. how they got to where they're at, and what it was going to take to overcome it. You know, all our spiritual ills, they never change. They never vary. They don't. They come in different forms. The guise in which they appear may be different, but they're always the same. The cause is always the same, and it's Satan. Satan is a powerful being who infects our lives and influences us far more than most of us even recognize. Satan has one goal, and this is why his ways have never changed and they've never varied. If Satan can get you to turn your eyes away from God, if Satan can get you to quit coming to church, if Satan can do anything to turn you away from the Lord, he's accomplished his purpose. He lost the war at Calvary. You can rest assured of that. He lost it. Jesus was victorious, and everyone for whom he died will one day live with him in heaven. Not a one will fail to be there. But he's been loose to make war with the saints, to wreak havoc upon our lives when at all possible. And that's exactly what he does. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our ways. He knows our troubles. He knows right where to attack us. And if you don't believe in the power of Satan, I encourage you to spend some time studying the book of Job. That man was covered with boils from head to toe. All his children died in one setting. He lost everything that he had. Matter of fact, if you read about any money in the Bible, you'll never find a man that probably had as bad a day as Job had. I don't care how much trouble you have in your life, how much pity you have for yourself or someone you know. I don't know anyone that's had anything close to the day that Job had. Another misnomer that we have, I think, in the Bible is these men that wrote the Bible were no different than you and I. God called them out of the human race, and he used them in a mighty way. But somehow or other, we had the idea that these are an extraordinary people. They're a special people. No, they were just like us. They were sinners. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Covers every one of us. Solomon said that in the 7th chapter of Ecclesiastes. We've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. So when we begin to look at Satan, we need to understand he can have a powerful influence in our life. And the Bible was written and preserved by God that it might help us, that we might have examples of trouble that came upon God's people throughout the ages and what it took to overcome the troubles that they had. You see, the Bible is not a thesis. It's not some book that's of no benefit. God preserved it because it's the only book that can help us with what ails us. Now, some of us may not take that to heart, but it's the truth. You know, I used to tell Suzanne, I may not apply the truth to my heart, and I may not walk in the truth, but I will not deny the truth. I'm a sinner, and I fall short many times, but I'm not going to justify my actions when they stand against the teachings of God's Word. And God teaches us that Satan is alive and well, deceiving whomsoever he will. So y'all keep that in mind. He came here to steal your peace if possible, to kill any enjoyment or joy that you'd have, lasting joy, and to bring you to a point that your life is in ruin and in misery and unhappy. You know, he can't destroy your soul. He can't keep you out of heaven. But he can destroy the things that you would love to have and be beneficial to you here in this life, your joy, your peace. He can do that. Now, when we think about this journey, I want to move over to Hebrews chapter 11 and move on from there. We talk about ourselves. I think about the past of my life. I really do. You know, life is not always easy. There are a lot of mountains you have to climb out there. There's a lot of valleys you have to go through. You know, nearly 20 years ago, I had a situation that was the greatest tragedy in my life and the tallest mountain I ever had to climb. But you know, at that very same time, I knew some brethren. They were going through a completely different ordeal, but their pain and suffering was just like mine. It wasn't from the loss of loved ones. It was a separation in a relationship. I'm just here to tell you there's none of us exempt from those things. But by the grace of God, we stand here today and we moved on. You know, you hear the health and wealth gospel preached by many out in the world. If you'll just do this, that, and the other, God will continually bless you and you'll never have a bad day. But if you read about Moses and you read about Abraham and you read about Job, you read about Joseph, I'm going to tell you those men had plenty of tough days. Plenty of hard days. Life was difficult. Life is a blessing. A tremendous blessing. God breathed a breath of life into our nostrils and we became living souls. We were created from nothing. And we have God's Spirit in us, and now we're going to be blessed to live forever, to never die. Came from nothing to live forever. I don't know of a greater blessing. Life is a blessing. But I'm telling you, it's not always easy. Life can be very hard. It has many ups and downs. God left us and preserved for us His Word. And if we'll study the journey of some of these men here in this in the Bible, it'll help us, I believe, with our journey here upon the earth. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, "Wherefore, seeing we are also," first verse, "compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." That's talking about you're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses, and it's referencing back to Hebrews 11 where we want to start. There was a man that we all know named Abraham, who God promised that all the families of the earth would be blessed through. Now, every major religion, from the Muslims to the Jews and to the Christians, claim Abraham as their father. Did you know that? One of the most influential men in all of Scripture. Yet, he was a man just like us, of like passions, emotions. Now, God used him in a mighty way. But let's begin to look at Abraham's life and think about this man. You know, sometimes we read about a man that lived thousands of years ago and we think he's Superman. He couldn't have had a life like us. He couldn't have had the troubles that we had. He couldn't have had what we have, or he couldn't have went on. But I'm here to tell you, these men had plenty of troubles. God called Abraham. And he said, "Abraham, I want you to take what you have. I want you to pluck up your tent, pick it up, and I want you to move where I tell you to go." Now, this was a tall order for a young man. God called him to leave everything that was familiar that he knew, to leave his family. You know, how many folks do you know that will not leave their family to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? There's no record in the Bible where Abraham ever seen his family again. Now, I'm not advocating that what we ought to do, but this says a lot for this man we know as Abraham. A man that's spoken of throughout the Bible, a man that's told, we're told in chapter 4 of Romans, was the friend of God. God called this man to leave the country that he lived in, to leave his family. He took his wife and his nephew Lot. Other than that, he left. To left all familiar surroundings and to go where the Lord told him to go. He didn't even know where he was going. Had no idea where he's going. When the Lord said stop, he stopped. When the Lord told him to take up his tent and move on, he did. As I said, there's no record in the Bible where Abraham ever saw his parents or many of his family that he left behind. You know, we have many teachings in the New Testament. It doesn't say that we're to forsake our family, but it says that if we put them before the Lord, we're not worthy of the Lord. Abraham obeyed God. He gathered up what he had, and he began to journey. He took his nephew Lot, and he had plenty of problems with Lot. Lot walked by sight. Abraham walked by faith. And what we meant there, Abraham's focus was upon God. Lot's focus was on the world. You know, Lot's a child of God because if you read in 2 Peter, it cannot be denied. He is a child of God, and yet what was precious to Lot was the things of this life, the desires of his flesh, and everything that he laid his eyes upon. He got the well-watered plain. He loved Sodom and Gomorrah. He loved those great cities and dwelt in those cities. He loved a lot of things that we love. And this is what he concentrated on. But the end of Lot's life was a miserable ending. You know, we reap what we sow, and sometimes when we don't reap it today or tomorrow, we don't believe we're going to reap it. But the Bible says God will not be mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. As I said, and I begin this morning, the greatest difficulty we have and what Satan's ultimate goal is in our life is to turn us away from God in any way and any fashion that he can. If he does that, he's accomplished his purpose. And oftentimes, we don't even realize the tremendous victories that Satan's having in the lives of God's people. He has them to turn to the world and turn to themselves, and on Satan is in this great warfare that's going on. But here's Abraham, a man who was called to leave his family. And what I want you to understand is Abraham had troubles just like you and I have. He had some good times. You and I have some good times, do we not? I've had some mountains to climb just like you've had. I've had some deep valleys to go through, but there's been times of rejoicing. We rejoiced when our children were born, when our grandchildren were born, when we got to go somewhere and see God's beautiful creation. But there's times just in average life that we are at peace and troubles don't seem to be coming in every direction. And we have those times in our life, but yet we have a lot of trouble. We have a lot of difficulty. Life's not easy. God never did say it would be easy. And we need to understand that the patriarchs of the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11 call the hall of faith, if you would. These men were not men that were immune to the troubles of life. They were no different than you and I was. It just so happened that they were born at a time that God purposely called them out to accomplish his purposes and to bring his message to us who live thousands of years down the road, that it might help us, that it might show us what our problems are, that we might diagnose our ills and have a way to overcome those ills. Not only that, we find many other lessons, and we can't get in them all today, but you know, Abraham was promised to be the father of all nations. Knowing that, he knew that he'd have to have a child, a son, to pass down his lineage. God promised that he'd have a son. But the days went by, and the weeks went by, and the months went by, and this didn't happen. They became restless and uncertain. Sarah began to laugh about God. She was beyond the childbearing years. So what did Abraham and Sarah do? They done what many of us do when we don't get things the way we want them. We get tired of waiting on God. They took the matters into their own hands, did they not? Sarah said, I'm going to give you my handmaiden, Hagar. You take her, Abraham, my husband. You get her pregnant and she'll have a child. And then we'll take that child and call it our own. We'll make it our own. You see what happens when man decides to take God, the matters of God, into their own hands? It never works out well. It never does. We know that Hagar brought forth a son, and his name was Ishmael. And he was Abraham's son. And actually, that's where most of the Muslim descendants in the world came down, through Ishmael. And he was truly Abraham's son. But the promised son finally came. Not only did God show that there was nothing too hard for the Lord, that his power was over exceeding, but when she was 90 years old and Abraham was 100, Isaac was born. And because they had taken matters into their own hand, Sarah wanted no more to do with Hagar and his son named Ishmael. She cast him out. She cast out the bondwoman. But I'll tell you, this brought a lot of pain and agony to Abraham. This was his son. Regardless of how it came about, Ishmael came from the loins of Abraham. And this wasn't an easy thing, but he did it. So they had waited for years and years for this son to be born. And he was finally here. Abraham loved him with a tremendous love. Matter of fact, it was possible that Abraham was loving his son more than he was loving God. So what did God do? He said, I want you to take your son, your only begotten son, the one that you love so much, and I want you to take him to Mount Moriah and to offer him as a living sacrifice. Can you imagine the emotions that was going through Abraham? He said, you take the wood, you bind him, you lay him upon the wood, you slay him and offer him as a burnt sacrifice, an offering unto God for a sweet savor. Abraham went. But can you imagine what was going through this man's mind? I mean, what sacrifices have you and I been asked to offer up for the only true and living God? For the Lord who laid down his life for you and I. What great sacrifices have we had to offer? We know that Abraham laid him on the wood. He pulled out his knife, was going to slay him, and the angel of the Lord intervened. But my whole point here was, Abraham had troubles just like you and I. He didn't walk down a road where there was never any difficulties. We notice in verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 12, I think this is an extremely important verse that we need to keep in mind. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. Think about that for a minute. They were given a promise that they had not received, and yet they died in faith. What does it mean to die in faith? It means that their focus in their life was in the proper place. They never lost sight of God. They never lost sight of God throughout this journey. They had their troubles. They waited forever to have a son. He never seen his relatives again, and he traveled like a nomad. He was a pilgrim and a stranger, as we'll find out here in a minute. On this earth, no different than you and I are. I've thought about my life when I reflect back on it. You know, we're here today and we're gone tomorrow. This earth is really nothing. We get so caught up in it. We get so fulfilled with it. It is a blessing. But then, poof, we're gone. It's over. It's done. One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. That's what Solomon said. It's just a cycle, and the cycle goes extremely fast. It says, therefore, it says, these all died in faith, and having received the promise, having seen them afar off, and were persuaded. What was it that kept Abraham and Job and Moses? And there's many others spoken of. They all died in faith, and what was it that kept them marching forward? They never lost sight of God. They never lost sight of God. The Bible tells us that we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. To me, this world is like a battlefield. Have you ever studied the battlefields that soldiers go on and how often there's landmines in those battlefields? There really are. Sometimes a soldier will step on a landmine, and when he steps away from it, that mine blows up and takes his life. And unfortunately, a lot of times, the fragments of that explosion hit other folks and affect them in a great way. May not kill them, but brings great danger to their life and trouble. The shrapnel that comes off will injure them. They might not ever be the same. Friends, I'm here to tell you this is how life is in this earth. It's a battlefield. It is. We're told in Hebrews chapter 2 that Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. When a platoon goes to battle, they're usually led by a captain, are they not? We sang that song this morning, He Leadeth Us. The question is Jesus leading you in your life? Be certain of this one thing. Satan has been loosed to make war with the saints and wreak havoc upon their life. And don't think for one minute that he's not accomplishing much of what he went to do. You know, it's an easy examination. If you've turned to the world or you've turned to yourself and turned away from God, it's an evidence that Satan is having some success with you. He really is. I think he's had some success with all of us. We turn away from the Lord. But it's like it's a battlefield. Jesus has already trodden this ground. He is our leader. And when we don't focus upon the Lord and we get distracted, as we're told in John 10, we're liable to step on one of these landmines and our life is liable to be destroyed. Maybe not physically, our natural life taken, but in a sense, our life can be destroyed. Friends, the world is full of landmines. And the only one that can navigate you through these mines is the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason these patriarchs in Hebrews chapter 11 were died in faith is because they never lost sight of God. They sinned. You know, Sarah and Abraham actually mocked God a little bit there because of this son Isaac who was born so late in life. We know that Abraham begged God to not destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that they were not sinless people. We know that they were not special people that never had any troubles. Matter of fact, their troubles were far greater than most of our troubles. But how did they die in faith? Because they never lost sight of the Lord. Their distractions were not that great. It is a battlefield. And we need the Lord to lead us. You know, there are two powers involved in our life. Did you know that? And they're strong powers. One of them is stronger than the other, but there's two powers that have a great influence in our life. And Jesus put it this way in John chapter 7. He said, there is a wide gate and a broad way that leadeth to destruction. He says, there's a narrow gate and a narrow way that leadeth to life. That narrow gate and that narrow way is the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those who will argue that that is a picture of heaven and hell. I totally disagree. And I'll tell you why I do here in a minute. I've even read some of the old Primitive Baptist writings way back there that lean in that direction. First of all, I believe the Bible tells us that we'll have more than a few in heaven. But the reason I don't take that position is, he begins in verse 13 and he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. That's the narrow gate which proceeds to the narrow way. If that is the truth and that describes heaven and hell, heaven being the narrow way, straight gate and the narrow way, and hell being the wide gate and the broad way, then where you end up is in your hands. Where you end up is in your hands. And I don't believe the Bible teaches that. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. So I don't believe there's any way this is a picture of heaven and hell. I believe it's a picture of Christ and a picture of the world. There is a power in the world, and Satan's in the world. It's a picture of our carnality, and it's a picture of Satan and his deceptions. And it's an easy, that broad gate, broad way, that wide gate's an easy gate to go through. Why is it so easy? Because that's where everybody else is going. You're going to find a lot of folks there. It's the easy road to take. Straight means hard and difficult. It's hard to stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's exactly what these brethren did at Hebrews 11. Think about Job for a minute. He never foolishly charged God. His wife said, you curse God and die. Things are so bad. Why do you want to do anything? He said, she's a foolish woman. Job, in all his troubles, never lost sight of God. Did you know that? He's an amazing man. But I'm telling you, that's why Satan's ways have never varied or changed. Because all he wants to do in this life is to turn you away from the Lord. Distract you. Get your eyes and your attention off the Lord. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And it says, and they were persuaded. They were persuaded of them, and they embraced them. I tell you what, until we get to the point of embracing the truth of God's word and the promises he's made to us, it's far easier for us to get distracted. and to move away and to let the world dictate what we do. You know, Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, he speaks of these two powers, the power of the flesh and the power of the spirit. He also said, if you live in the spirit, meaning if you're born of the spirit of God, if you have eternal life dwelling in you, also walk in the spirit. But friends, it's like I said, life is a blessing, but it's not easy. It's difficult sometimes. Unless we focus in on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what life's about. When Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, he literally meant it. There is no purpose under heaven greater than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, he tells us over here in Hebrews 12, who for the joy that was set before him, he trod the road that we're trodden down now. He's already been there and already done it. He knows the feelings of our infirmity. He knows the difficulties that we're going through. But we were literally his joy. We were such a joy unto him that he was willing to go even unto death, to be nailed to a cross, to be crucified, to literally die in our room instead, that one day we'll live with him. You know, when Satan, we're told of Satan's destruction of God's children in John chapter 10, and Jesus was the one that said this. He says, when you lose sight of me, you lose sight of abundant life. And he says, at some point, your life is going to be destroyed, at least in the sense of what you wanted it to be. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to have peace. There is a peace that passeth understanding that keeps our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. It passes all understanding, even when you have it. The psalmist said, he leadeth us beside still waters. It is God that leads us to a place of peace. We're not going to find it unless the Lord is leading us there. We're not going to be able to navigate through the landmines that are in this world, and they're there. They're there every day, unless the captain of our salvation is leading us. And the only way we're going to get through it is to focus on him, because he is our leader. When we get distracted and we look away, then we're liable to step on one of them. And not only are we liable to cause great problems in our life, the shrapnel that goes flying in every direction is liable to affect our loved ones, our friends, our brothers and sisters. You know, we're told in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. If you wasn't a soldier and this world wasn't a battlefield, then why do we need to put on the whole or the full armor of God? Sounds to me like we're at war, does it not, you? Like I said, Satan's objective is to turn you away from the Lord. Where the Lord's not first in your life, Satan would love for you to stop praying, not make prayer an essential part of your life. He would love for you not to attend or to ever assemble again with the saints. He would love for you to never speak the name of Jesus Christ. And through the distractions that are in the world, his ways and his means have never changed or varied, because they've always worked down through the ages, beginning with Eve. She was beguiled and deceived. She looked at that. She saw it. And she partake of it. She lost her focus when God said, you can eat of every tree but that one. There was only one tree in that entire garden that they were not allowed to eat the fruit of, and that's the one they went to. They lost their focus, and Satan was there to help them lose it. He encouraged them. He told them they would be as gods, knowing good and evil. We've always wanted to be a god because we want to be in control of our own destiny, so we think. Abraham and Sarah decided, since God wasn't doing for them what he had promised, and it wasn't happening at the speed that he wanted them to happen, they just take matters into their own hands. But I'm here to tell you again, when we attempt to do that, it's not going to turn out well. It didn't turn out well for them. Yes, they had a child, and then Sarah cast him out. It brought great pain and agony and sorrow to Abraham's life. The Bible was written to help us. What is it that helps us as we navigate through life? It's God's Word. It is. It's God's Word. You know, it talks about spiritual depression in the Bible. Matter of fact, it's throughout the whole entire Bible. And we all have it from time to time. David had it. And he began to ask himself, why is my soul cast down? Why art thou cast down, my soul? He was hurting in his soul, and things were just not right with him. And then he said, I'll look unto the Lord. I'll look unto the Lord. You know, that's what we need to do every day. When we go through our journey in life, it's so easy to get distracted. The Bible is not just a book of a thesis that was written by some man because he didn't have something better to do. Psalms 12 tells us that God's Word was preserved from that generation forever. In the New Testament epistles, much of the troubles that they faced are the troubles we face. Paul tells them what the cause of their trouble was and what it was going to take to overcome their troubles. Satan is the father of lies, and he's going to tell you that's not right. I don't need God's Word. I can make it on my own. He was a liar from the beginning, and he still lies today. And he's in there lying to us in our conscience. We're told to draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto us. We're told to resist the devil and James, and he will flee from us. But I want you to know that Satan is real, and he's having an impact on all of us. At times, some more than others, but he's real. Sometimes it's hard to imagine that he's running to and fro through the world, devouring whomsoever he will. But his ultimate goal is just to turn you away from the Lord. That's all. If he's done that, he's accomplished his purpose. He's won a battle. He's been loose for a season. He didn't win the war, thank God. Because one day we're going to live with the Lord and we're not going to have these problems. But think about these brethren of old who went through such trying times as Job and Moses and Joseph when he was sold into slavery and went down into Egypt. These guys had a lot of bad days. They had a lot of trouble in their life. But even Joseph himself never lost sight of God. That's the key. It's to stay focused on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because there are a lot of minefields out there that we walk through every day. And yes, we may be affected by them some, but when we get so distracted that we're stepping on them, things can get really bad in our life. They really can. We turn away from the Lord. We need God's help every day just to get through this life. May we all die in faith, being persuaded of the promises, embracing the promises that one day we'll no longer have any minefield to walk through. It'll be a place of peace and joy throughout all eternity. If you have eternity dwelling in you, you have eternity right now. Oftentimes the great joys you have are the first fruits of what you'll enjoy every day when you live with God throughout all eternity. May God bless us to keep that in mind and to stay focused. For it's in Him that we live, move, and have our being. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. May God bless you this morning. It's my prayer. If there be one here that desires a home in the church, you come forward at this time. You got a song? We're going to sing number 398 as our first song, and we'll give the right hand of fellowship. If you desire a home, you come forward at this time.